This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. Joel, Barry, and Nick, Usual Suspects with you until 4 o'clock.
I need more energy from you.
That's when Fred and AJ. Yeah, I'm not as peppy as you.
Yeah, I need a little energy. You're putting me to sleep. Let's go. Kick it up a notch. We got to get that coffee next break.
All
Let's go.
Coach, I've had a large diet.
You're
going to
help me find some so I can save what's
left.
Yeah,
I got to go
voice.
Get you some tea at one of these breaks.
I'm not doing tea.
I'm going to stir it with my penis.
That's all really right. Good. Well, I hope you burn yourself.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Boiled weenies.
All right. Maybe
there you go.
The only way to eat them. So somebody texted in your defense, Nick, but it's a really long paragraph, and I'm not reading all that. But just know that someone has your back. Probably one of your friends. You had them text the show.
Yeah, because I was getting killed on the text line. So. Two texts.
Out of five Rockets texts? That's a killing. That's a shellac. Yeah, Nick's very salty today.
I'm just passionate because I am angry about this Rockets loss. No question.
I see that.
But you're not worried. I'm not worried.
No, I'm not worried
I
about
said Rockets
series.
In six, so I fully expected them to lose two games.
I feel like the five-game prediction that I had, I don't know if Joel had that.
I said five as well.
You guys are idiots.
I think that may not be the case anymore.
Yeah, you guys are idiots, and I'm the genius.
I said, okay. Blew one way back Wednesday.
Oh, he's got bragging rights. Yeah,
damn it. You know why?
That poll
you know
thing
why?
Was a bad
we
idea.
We don't need to know why.
Yeah.
Just take
Whose
it.
Whose stupid ass idea was it to Kirsten. Do a poll, Nicholas?
Huh? We don't want to give her credit, but now that we lost, we should blame her for it.
You dummy. You know why he won? Because he retweeted
Cause
the poll. No, because you're the only one that retweeted it.
Yeah,
I didn't retweet it.
I begging for votes. Nick was begging for votes,
shaking the can.
Nick's out there. I'll give you a handy if you vote for me. Like, you owe so many people handies, bro. It's ugly. You're gonna have like calloused palms. You better get you some Jergens or something.
Jerkins.
No, that's not how it's called. All right, let's get Chan's call in. He's been holding for a minute. Chan wants to talk Rockets. Chan, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Long-time tweeter.
We do not have a problem. We do not have a problem.
Okay.
I think this loss for the Rockets is actually a pretty good loss, and here's why. You face a Timberwolves team that doesn't really challenge you. You know, you're going up against a Utah team that, honestly, Donovan Mitchell's a baller. You know, the kid can flat-out play for a rookie. What you don't want to have happen is go through two series against the Timberwolves and then against the Utah Jazz where you're not challenged. And then you get, you know, to a team like the Golden State Warriors, who we obviously know is going to make it to the finals at this point, and then them have to play the best basketball. I think that what this is going to do for the Rockets is help them to refocus and get back to a point where they say, look, you know, James Harden and Chris Paul, they're only going to be questioned or viewed by what they do in the Western Conference Finals and, you know, hopefully on to the NBA Finals. So they've been looking to that third round and, you know, not really thinking about these. And now you have a legitimate team and a couple, you know, legitimate players that can challenge them. So I think it's important for Houston to have a challenge through this series. I still think a 5 or 6 game series is, you know, attainable. I think Houston's going to come out of this. I don't think this is a problem. I actually think this is a good thing for the Rockets so they don't breeze through and then drop a game to Golden State, you know, and then you give them a home court advantage back and you got to go play in the Oracle where it's definitely crazy. I would say a lot more crazy than Utah. But Houston, we do not have a problem. I'll hang up with you.
Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Chan. Thoughts?
Good call. Oh, here's the first thing that I thought. When I was looking for a silver lining last night, the one thing I thought was this is a wake-up call. This is you're feeling so good about yourself. You breezed through the first round. You know, you were worried at first. James was doing it, not Chris. Then Chris picked up James. Then when they both did it together, you were like, you know what? It's us and the Warriors, and we're coasting. And this might be the little slap in the face that they needed to right the ship.
So, I mean, what he said and what you're saying makes sense, but I would counter that with 2 points. Number one, teams like the Golden State Warriors don't need wake-up calls.
No question.
The Warriors go out, they step on your throat, they beat you like they're supposed to beat you. They're not having to have a wake-up call in a round where they should just be walking through the competition. The other thing that worries me about that point is, if that is true, and it's a great point, but if it is true, what does that say about the leadership of this team that you can't get your team up to beat a Utah Jazz team that's not a terrible team? They're a really good defensive team. They're like the Spurs. They're like the Mormon version of the Spurs. Not great offensively, but they're damn good on defense. Well, you would have been up for the Spurs, but you can't get up for the Jazz. I think it says, if it's true, it says a lot about the leadership on this team, not getting this team going and stepping on their throat like you would see the Warriors do. And that might be the difference between these two teams, and that might be why the Rockets can't beat the Warriors.
It's scary, because if the Warriors a team you can not be successful behind a three-point line? I don't know if the Rockets can do that to the Warriors. I felt like they could do it to the Jazz. I felt like they could do it. They did it in the first round. But if the shot's not falling, your decision making has to be much better. I can't tell you how aggravating it was for me to see Eric Gordon play. And if you look at the box score, I think he had 18 points. I don't know how many points. It didn't look as bad on the box score, but he had some of the worst decisions.
Who?
You expect that Gordon. Eric Gordon? Yeah. You expect that out of Gerald Green?
Yeah.
But Eric Gordon, the sixth man of the year last year, and you're sitting here penetrating to the basket, going for a layup that has no shot, no chance of going in, like zero chance, instead of kicking it out to an open player. I just don't get it, dude.
He was a minus nine. He scored 15 points, had six rebounds, one assist, one steal, two blocks, but had a couple turnovers, and he was a minus nine while he was on the floor.
There's two differences between what they faced so far and what it's going to mean to face the Warriors, okay? One, Nick, dead spot on about missing the threes, right? But when they're not falling at a certain point, you got to figure it out and say, we got to do something else. They're not falling. Chris Paul, make that mid-range. James, drive and penetrate. Either get fouled, get some baskets, get some points. Find an open Capella because the defense draws to you. But they don't know when to quit or at least take the foot off the three for a minute to try and just get some points. The other thing is, between the two offenses, what Houston does is ISO-based basketball. It is all about either James or Chris on the perimeter or creating everything off the dribble. They're averaging like 8 dribbles per possession. If you watch Golden State, the difference is even the guys that aren't involved in the isolation, if it's Curry, if it's Durant, whatever it is, everyone else is moving. And the crazy thing is, Barry, and I've never seen a team be able to do this, and it's shocking, but they seem to be able to do it because they've loaded up with talent. They can flip a switch, and when it's time to play on both ends of the floor, and they say it's playoff time, flip it. So far to me, they have shown me on both ends of the floor, they do things no other team in this league does. And that's the difference offensively between the two of them. They know when they're not shooting threes well, they just attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, too, and I've heard this from a lot of people on social media, they've got 4 all-stars that can attack. The Rockets have 2. Okay, fine. But I'm just saying, at this point in the season, you have to figure it out when it's not falling.
That may be true, but the Rockets also have Clint Capella, who can be dominant at the rim, even against a guy like Rudy Gobert. He's proven that. You've got the sixth man, the reigning sixth man of the year. You should still be able to attack if you want to.
But the reason why this is good, though, Nick, getting back to what we were talking about with Harden and Crowder, because exactly what Crowder did, but times it by 100, is what they're going to face with Draymond Green. That's part of his mantra. That's part of his game. He's going to get under your skin. He's going to gnaw at you. He's going to cheap shot you. And at least, if nothing else, this is prepping them in a little way for what they're going to see if they get farther than this.
Yeah, I mean, the mental game is very important. I really believe that. And perhaps James Harden, because you've been there. You said you told us in the break the Crowder story when he was with the Celtics, and what he said to Harden in the huddle. That's ballsy. I mean, if you're Crowder, I want a player like that on my team. We hope that PJ Tucker is kind of that guy, but he's just not as, I don't know, I guess he's not as aggressive as that. You know what I mean? Maybe Beverly was, but he was kind of a smaller enforcer.
But if
this helps him, that's great. I just think that when no one's shooting well, there's got to be someone, like you mentioned, that can attack the basket. The Warriors have that. And it doesn't seem like one or two guys are, you know, or 3 or 4 guys that are not doing well at the Warriors. It seems like it's only one or two. So they can always depend on somebody else. You don't necessarily get that out of the Rockets all the time. I mean, you can sometimes have 4 players that are just not even in double digits, and it's scary. It's happened.
Yeah.
It's scary. So that's why I was so upset, because I feel like that they shouldn't do that against this Jazz team. I'm sorry. Before this game, I said Jazz.
Especially at home.
But to my point, that's why part of the reason why those guys aren't involved is because they're all standing around watching the ball. They're not that movement like Golden State does.
Well, but that's not their offense. I mean, this offense, this is what it's been all year, is James or Chris Paul brings the ball up. They stand up at the top of the three-point line. 2 guys on the wing, 2 guys in the corner. They make a move. Capella drops down. It's a pick and roll or a kick out for a corner three.
If that's what this offense three is. And they go to the penetration, that's where the movement is supposed to happen. And a lot of times they get so caught up watching because it happens all the time, they don't move subtly to the open spot.
Also, don't sleep on the fact that the Utah Jazz did a good job of disrupting the pick and roll, which I probably had something to do with throwing the offense out of whack a little bit for Harden, Capella, and everybody else. All right, so we're going to move on. We'll talk a little baseball. Little Astros, they're currently losing. They still haven't scored. It's been like 9 weeks that they haven't scored. So we'll talk a little Astros and what's wrong with them and more right after this. It's the Usual Suspects with ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Good Lord, man.
What?
Welcome back to the show. Usual Suspects.
Where's your boy Joel at?
Oh, he's getting coffee or tea for his throat.
You know you're going to have meningitis tomorrow.
I see. I'll call in sick. I don't care. I just won't come.
Yeah, that's I'll what just, I do. That's what I try to do. That's what I did.
If you're sick, you shouldn't come to work. But he said it's allergies, which I believe him.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't believe
him. He always talks about having allergies. So I believe him. Welcome back to the show, Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 p.m. when the Blitz takes over. You can reach the show 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can fax that number. You can send carrier pigeons to West Alabama if you want to reach us. On Twitter, it's at PacManJoel with a K. At Barry is funny. At the producer, Nick. There's also the live stream, which is just ESPN975.com.
Which Barry was dancing.
Which I was dancing
on. 10 seconds.
So. Was it on there? Did it come through?
Yeah.
Because I was sexy.
I'm too lazy to isolate it. So if any tech-savvy listeners out there want to isolate Barry dancing.
L.
That's fine. John Parker said, is the person who doctors the baseballs before the game sick or something? We need them to get back and quick. Yeah. That's not going well. Also, real quick, I just want to say this. And Troy, we see you. We're going to get to your call this segment. I promise you that. But Tracy texted the show. Tracy said, courtesy AC is as good as you see, as good as you say. They just worked on mine, and it's safe to say they are the best. I agree with you, Tracy. Thank you so much for... It's always nice when we talk about companies and we're passionate about them, like I am, courtesy AC, and then somebody... validate that.
Yep.
I love that. That's the best part. So thank you, Tracy, for that text. You didn't have to do that. Somebody wants to know, has the Astros side of the scoreboard been broke the last couple of days? That's also a good question. Man, I'm computer dumb. Help me out, Barry. What's the website to see the live feed? Just go to ESPN975.com.
Front page.
That's it. Right there. It's you just can't.
You might
miss
see
it.
A commercial before it starts playing, but
yeah,
it
they
will
run a little
play.
Addy ad, you know, and then you're good to go. All right, let's talk Astros. What the hell is going on with the Astros? The bats are colder than my ex-wife's heart.
Wow. We can't.
I'm
saying
not
that,
as
though.
Angry with the Astros as I am with the Rockets. So.
I'm not as angry with the Astros as I am my ex-wife. Actually, maybe it's the other way around.
The thing is. We started talking about this. I mean, look, even though Keuchel gave up the two bombs last night to Stanton, he still pitched well enough to win. You know, he kept you in the ball game. It's a 2-0 game till what? The second bomb was, I think, in the seventh inning before he came out. So Stanton was responsible for all four runs. But overall, it's still almost a quality start. A quality start is three runs or less in seven innings. But it points right back to what we've been starting to talk about, which is the offense just isn't putting up numbers.
The Astros haven't scored a run since the fourth inning of game one.
Go back to the other stat. When's the last time that they were shut out in back-to-back games?
I saw that on the broadcast last night. The last time the Astros have been shut out in back-to-back games, July 1st and 2nd of 2013.
God.
That was back in the crap days.
Yeah.
That was back when they were losing 100 games. So not good. It looks like Correa just made like a badass play at shortstop. That's great. Now go hit the ball.
He needs
Please, to. Somebody.
Just keep us in the game.
Let's see what Troy wants to say about the Astros. Oh, my bad, Nick. I just totally threw you under the bus. You weren't even in this.
Troy, hold tight. We'll get to you in a second.
We got to let Nick flip the switch there.
I mean, look, I'm looking at it. We've been talking about Giles. We've been talking about the bullpen. But the fact of the matter is, these guys got to hit the ball.
Here's the thing, though. I think you just kind of ran into a perfect storm with the Yankees. The Yankees are a hot baseball team right now. They had won, what, 9-10 in a row before the Astros beat them? And it was a 2-1 game. So it's not like you just came in and put up 15 on them or something like that. You also... I don't know what the deal is. They were talking about this on the broadcast a couple of nights ago. The fact that the Astros last year were the best team in baseball at hitting the fastball. Mm-hmm. That is not the case this year. In fact, they're not good at all. I think they were like 11th or 13th in the AL in hitting the fastball. And you're facing a team that is fastball dominant. I mean, when you Severino gets it up to 97, 98.
Did you see that stat? He has the fastest fastball from starters in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these are guys that can bring it, and that's part of the problem that if you're not good at hitting the fastball this year, for whatever reason, and if this continues, man, you got to start – I hate to say this, but you got to start looking at things like the hitting coach, what's going on, have they stopped listening, do they think that they know everything? I don't know what the problem is. I just feel like with me, when it comes to hitting – I look at it a lot like shooting. It's going to come and go. I mean, that's part of the problem that happened to the Rockets last night. They weren't making their threes, and that's going to happen. And we even said as much. I mean, on the show, I said, this team's not going – their shot's not going to fall. And if it happens in the playoffs, it could get ugly for a game or two. The Astros sometimes aren't going to hit.
I look at it, though, and I look at the same guys that we've been talking about. Gattis, Mariznick. Obviously, Fisher's not hitting the ball, but he's not in there on a consistent basis. You know, and Marwin. And we've said and tried to set the table for you guys to make you realize, look, Marwin is not going to have that kind of year every year. Sometimes you just get in one of those zones where you have that kind of breakout season, but it's not, he falls back to the norm, and the consistency is normally 240, 250. You know, yeah, he's going to get some RBIs, but I'm looking at those guys and going, something's got to change. And I'm not the guy that's rushing Tucker to get up there, but I'm looking for other solutions or give someone else a chance.
No doubt. I think they're going to have to do something, and soon. That you don't want to get I want to see what the standings are real quick, because I know – yeah, so there's still a game up on the Angels.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So you're still good. You don't necessarily have to panic. I remember playing this game where we looked at the – remember the record? And I know I looked at last year, and yesterday or the day before, they were 20-11, just like they were yesterday.
Yeah.
The problem is, once they hit 20-11, they went on a run of 9 in a row that they won. So they ended up 29-11. That doesn't look like that this team is poised for that right now.
The other thing we talked about is last year the ball just fell their way a lot. In close games, when a ball was going down the line, it was fair, not foul when they were hitting. The breaks just aren't going the same way this year, and that's going to happen in baseball. But with all that being said and all the black clouds that are hanging around, everybody wants to criticize this team right now. The fact of the matter is they're still virtually in a tie or in first place in the division, and that's all you need to do.
In the first three games against the Yankees, they have 4 extra base hits.
Yeah, they've been awful.
That's not good. They had 5 hits last night, 6 hits the night before, and then 5 hits in the win. That's just not going to get it done. There's no other way around this. The Astros are not hitting. They're getting great pitching right now, but the fact of the matter is they can't hit. So let's take Troy's call. Nick is able to push the buttons now. Troy wants to talk Astros. Troy, go ahead, man. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
What up?
What's up, Troy?
Hey, you kind of answered my question, but I went to the debacle Tuesday night and watched the Verlander game, and he just pitched lights out. My question to Joel was, because he's pitched, what gets in their head more, having no run support or come out there and pitch the best 7 innings you've probably ever pitched and can't turn it over to somebody and trust them to save a lead?
I mean... Look, publicly, he said all the right things. Verlander did. But if you read between the lines, when he thought he was done, excuse me, and AJ came to him and said, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. He said after a 30-second pause, there was part of me that said, I need to go back out there for one more. And then said, no, you know what? I'm done. I've been losing the control a little bit. But I think that, you know, they're never going to point the finger within their own clubhouse.
No.
And I don't think he should.
Because every player on that team is going to have a letdown at some point that's going to hurt their team.
Yep.
So you don't do that.
And I think that the bigger thing that you hang your hat on is, look, I'm doing my job. I did exactly what I was supposed to do, and I have total confidence. Look, we had John Chambion from ESPN, who's a national guy. He sees every team in the league, and he said unequivocally, the Astros are the best team in baseball. So as much as we're nitpicking right now, and they're struggling a little bit, it's not that serious. And when you look at it, you know, from my perspective or Barry's perspective or Nick's perspective, it doesn't matter. I mean, the major thing is you can't jump off the ship right now. Whether you're worried about – you can't worry about Ken Giles. You can't worry about the lineup. You just got to do your job and expect that everybody's going to do theirs. Balls are going to start falling in. Hits are going to start happening more, and they'll right the ship.
What else you got, Troy?
That's it. I don't think the Rockets got any problems. I think they'll take care of their business. I was just wondering what you thought about the pitching. And it's real disheartening to come out there and pitch as good as he did for seven innings, and then poof, it's gone and – swing of a bat. So
appreciate the call, bud.
Those are the breaks of baseball.
As always, I wanted to see something. So I'm doing a little experiment here. I'm trying to figure out if you take away that series with the White Sox from runs scored, right? So they put up 27 runs.
Yep.
Let's say that they do kind of a league average of 4 runs a game, because that still wins those games, right? They win 4-0, 4-1, and 4-1 if they don't score 27. So if we're going to take away 15 of those runs, that puts this team at 138.
And that puts them where on league average?
No, I'm sorry, 134. That puts them just ahead of St. Louis.
Which is?
At 15th in the majors.
About middle of the pack.
Yeah. Right dead middle of the pack. Right now they're 5th. In the majors. Because I got a tweet from somebody that was like, or a text yesterday, we got one. And the guy is like, through this many games, they had this many wins, the same amount, and the same amount of runs scored. But I think part of the problem is that White Sox series was, you faced a bad team.
It was fool's gold.
27 runs in 3 games.
Yeah, because you do it, and everybody's like, man, they were in the middle of a winning streak. Don't forget that, because they won 9 in a row.
Yep.
And so you're like, oh my God, they figured it out. Here they come. But you're right. They're playing a very subpar team.
Yeah, so you take that away, and this offense has been average. Are they going to get out of it? I think they will. I think you just have to endure this. Here's the funny thing, though. I'd be curious to see what sales are on ace bandages and ankle braces, because I'm sure a lot of people are spraining their ankle hopping off this Astros bandwagon. Just as quickly as they hopped on it, people are just flying off of it.
I saw more "we're not going to repeat" tweets yesterday seen.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this town
the side,
is the most
York,
bandwagon-ass town I've ever seen in my whole life.
Some
you guys
of my
are
friends,
disgusting.
Some of my friends, and even some of our people on Twitter, Manny Fresh and all those guys, were retweeting. The people in New York were like just going off like they had just won the World Series. It's like, slow down, man. It's the first week in May.
There was a, when they had that first, the Ken Giles debacle in Game 2 of this series, the guy that tweeted to Verlander said, "I hope you get diarrhea." And then Verlander responded, I did not.
Yeah.
Which is great. If you go back and look at that dude's a comedian. And if you watch his timeline, he's like, the Yankees are so sorry. I hate this team. What are they doing? And all of a sudden he's like, yeah, that's my Yankees. They come back. It's like, well, at least you know those guys are diehard Astros fans. A lot of you guys are just disgusting bandwagon fans. And it's sad. It's sad. But you know what? We'll see you.
At least their attendance
we'll see you
is
in
still
3
decent.
Months.
It's way better than it ever has been. I'll
true,
give you that.
But we'll see you guys in
there
3
no
months.
Rockets playoff fans.
No.
That was sad.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, ESPN
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the Usual Suspects. 90 in the... No, it's too late. Damn it.
Blow it again.
Damn. Dag nabbit!
We shattered that break so bad. It's
yeah, I can't even do it now.
Blows up every break. So.
Night. Bitch.
Dude, I'm just... No, I'm didn't. Glad I can be you for a day.
Yeah, that's
now you know
true.
How it feels.
Oh God, I hate me so much.
Yeah, see.
So on the live stream, John Parker wanted to know, hey, why not bring up Tony Kemp to replace Jake Mariznick? And I said, replacing backups isn't the problem for this team. They need their bats that are in the starting lineup to start hitting. His point was Jake Mariznick is starting just as much. Yeah, that's because nobody's hitting. Jake Mariznick shouldn't be starting on this team. It should be Marwin Gonzalez, George Springer, and Josh Reddick as your three outfielders, not Jake Mariznick. If Jake Mariznick's in there, it's because he's trying to switch it up and do something different. But Jake Mariznick is a backup and a defensive replacement on this team, and replacing his bat isn't going to do much. What you need is you need a legit left fielder that can hit. And Tony Kemp, while he's fast, is a .217 career hitter in a season and some change, and struck out 27 times in 120 at-bats. Tony Kemp is not the answer for this team. If you want to talk about Tucker, I'll listen. Maybe if you even want to talk about J.D. Davis, I'll entertain it.
I'm telling you right now, the other guy that people aren't paying enough attention to is you love him as a teammate, but Evan Gattis is just...
Yes, he is hurting this team.
Struggling, man.
Yeah, he's the designated misser right now.
Yeah.
He is not hitting anything.
I have no confidence when he comes up with runners in scoring position.
It's like Evan Carter.
And all you
Chris Gattis. Okay,
I don't
know.
Say that. I
what?
Say that.
What? What?
All you people that think it's because it's when the roof is open. Well, the roof is closed and they're losing 3-0 today.
No, they've lost plenty without the roof. Christina Pink Valkyrie on Twitter. I don't know if I understand this.
I don't think any of us do.
I think it means something else. But it says, I was contemplating life after BJ's, Astros, and Rockets lost, which I know what you're talking about on the last two.
Yep.
I don't know.
Maybe she's talking about the BJ's
the restaurant.
Yeah,
with the all the beers.
Yep,
it's only
the only other restaurant I could think of.
Or maybe she's watched BJ and the Bear on Netflix, and
Breakfast
now that it's
Jack.
Over,
I guess this means
she gave
you
up
need
Breakfast
to,
Jack.
She you gave
need to
up.
Clarify, Christina.
Wow, you gave up Breakfast Jack.
Maybe
good
she
for
gave
you.
Up Breakfast Jack.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think we need some clarification, because if not, I feel sorry for your man.
Either that or Breakfast Jacks.
Life after
is another term for...
True.
Okay.
Get you some Breakfast Jacks.
Hey, I'm feeling frisky. How about a Breakfast Jack?
Lenny said, Barry, thanks for trying, but the new guy is no better than Pac-Man Joel.
Yeah, Lenny, tell me how Dez is doing in Dallas.
Yeah. By the way, Lenny, you kiss my whole entire ass, all right? This is as good as it's going to get for me.
This isn't 790. We have each other's back.
Yeah.
Here.
Just viewed the stream. Glad to see you guys look as dumb as you sound. So we've got that vote of confidence, which is great.
Glad to see the text messages suck.
Love you guys.
He's obviously talking about y'all two and not me, because I haven't been
there. I think he sent that when it was on you talking Rockets.
That was like the last hour. So
okay.
Definitely talking about you two.
What's wrong with Joel's voice? Is he coming down with a case of stretch throat?
Why is that funny?
Stretch throat?
Yeah.
Think about it for a minute.
I get it.
Why would your throat be stretched?
Okay, Christina. Okay. Easy.
Because you've given up on Breakfast Jacks and...
the Astros and the Rockets.
Yeah. What do y'all think the Astros do with Keuchel?
You let him
pitch out of it. He's going to. He struggled a year, two years ago, the year after Cy Young, he struggled.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
All right. Does this weigh more or less on the fact of what you would do with him at the end of the year?
I'm telling you
right now, with the rest of the starting rotation that you have and what the other options that you have is, I'm totally fine with him if the Yankees, as rumored, or other teams throw a lot of money at him.
I mean, Forrest Whitley is your backup plan.
I'm fine
if Keuchel walks.
Yep.
And if he's having a bad year, chances are they could either get him at a discount or let him walk and be okay with that. I mean, this is still a guy that has a Cy Young on his mantle. You don't just throw those guys away. You don't just, he had a down year. Remember 2 years ago when he was having a down year and this team wasn't playing well, it was because he was injured. And he was injured for most of the year.
In a contract year, who would have thought that of this rotation, with as successful as it's been 1 through 5, that the one guy who stands out as the guy not so much is the guy, like you said, that's won a Cy Young, that's been there, done that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's not using any pine tar. His spin rate's not up. Yeah.
And the bubblegum isn't as strong.
Did you see the latest in this whole Trevor Bauer spin rate thing?
There's a lot of people climbing in.
So that was my article for Sports Map today. Is I just kind of recapped it for you guys and got everybody up to speed and just threw in my two cents here and there. But The latest to come out was Ian Kinsler came out and said that Trevor Bauer is basically a hypocrite. And the reason he said that, and I'm going to read his quote here, it's a weird statement made. This is Ian Kinsler. It's a weird statement made from a pitcher who is on a pitching staff and has a bunch of peers who are probably using pine tar. If Corey Kluber, doesn't use pine tar, I'd be extremely surprised because the action he gets on his pitches is something no one else gets. So I'm sure he's got a pretty good grip on the ball. For Bauer to call out one team, I don't know what the point of that was. And that's a great point because he's on a staff, he's in a rotation. I think the consensus is around baseball, and even Trevor Bauer was saying, there's a lot of guys doing this. It's not just the Astros. His point was, I wasn't trying to single out the Astros. I'm saying that this is a baseball-wide problem. This is an MLB problem, not an Astros problem. It's happening plenty.
Right.
It's funny, though, because Bauer came out in his statement, his official statement on the whole thing, and said, just let everybody use pine tar. The problem he doesn't like is he's not using pine tar, but he knows other people are, but they're not getting checked. You can't go out every pitch of every inning and check a guy and then finally catch him and throw him out. So what he's saying is just legalize pine tar. Just like you have the rosin bag and batters in the batter's box can put pine tar on their bag.
Wait, get that on the live stream.
Just put some on the behind the mound and let a pitcher go to it and get tack on his fingers. And now everybody knows what you're using, at least. I mean, if you want to outlaw stuff.
But just like anything else, some pitchers wouldn't be able to figure it out. It wouldn't feel right. They wouldn't have the same control.
Some batters don't use pine tar. Some batters don't use batting gloves.
I was going to flip it around on you and say, look, for everything that Trevor Bauer's trying to say, hitters are constantly putting pine tar up at higher levels of the bat than they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Some guys like Sammy Sosa and others are corking bats.
Yeah.
Some guys are doing things. And until they get caught, they're going to continue to do it. I got news for you. It's not like, hey, this worked one game, got me out of a slump, I better stop.
Yeah,
hell no, if it worked, they're going to keep doing it.
And his point, too, was that, you know, if you want to ban substances, make them specific. You can't use Vaseline, you can't do, but you can use pine tar. And Ian Kinsler said the same thing that Trevor Bauer said, which was, let them do it. Because you know what? As hitters, we would rather you have control of the ball. We don't want the ball just flying around.
Because you want to hit somebody in the head or...
Yeah, so if the ball is more tacky because you have a better feel and have more control of it, we're okay with that.
The more important thing for Nick to realize is you can't use Vaseline, but you can use pine tar. So just keep that in mind for the weekends.
Yeah, Nick, you should definitely try that.
Little
pine tar in the palms. All right, listen up. Poker players in the Houston area, listen to me. Had somebody asking about this yesterday, so pay attention. Also, if you just want to be rich... Pay attention. How does $100,000 sound? It sounds good. I mean, I'm always down for $100,000. Well, you're going to want to get out to Steel House Poker Club, Houston's newest, biggest poker room. They are making history. Steel House Poker is bringing Houston its richest poker tournament ever on May 18th and 19th. They are guaranteeing $100,000. I said guaranteeing. You heard me correctly. They are guaranteeing $100,000. It is the biggest in the history of Houston and Texas. The biggest poker tournament in the history of Houston and Texas. And for just $300, you can take your shot on May 18th or May 19th at the richest purse in the history of Houston poker. And you know what? They're not stopping there. Steelhouse Poker is guaranteeing at least $10,000 every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. Again, let me repeat myself. $10,000 guaranteed every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. It's Steelhouse Poker Club, Houston's newest poker club, conveniently located on I-45 North and West Road. It's the $100,000 Steelhouse Poker Club. Find out more at steelhousepoker.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. I almost forgot.
See, I was going to say... It's all fun and games, so you got to do it.
Well, I mean, look, in a year and a half, I've done it twice. Once when you were out, and today, because you don't,
too much,
you don't let me. What? You don't let me drive ever.
That's not true.
This is Joel.
This is
how
the
long,
first time. For
exactly.
Sure.
How long have we been doing this show?
A couple weeks.
A couple weeks. I wish.
We have more potential that way.
Right. So we found out what Christina meant by I'm contemplating life after BJ's, Astros, and Rockets.
Oh, she clarified?
Yeah. She didn't mean Breakfast Jacks.
No.
Which I think is a great
thank you
idiom for that. That will be what we refer to them
She's
as.
She's never tweeted like that. That's why I kind of knew it meant something else.
She meant Blue Jays. Which, how did we not see that? When I saw it, I was like,
oh, she's a big Blue Jays fan.
I was like, oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm a big BJ's fan, too. But
you like your Marcus Stroman.
I like my Breakfast Jacks. I'll be honest with you. Lenny said, you guys are sensitive. Jeez, it was a joke. Yeah, Lenny, we're so sensitive. That's why we read it instead of just blocking you.
That's why I called him Dez again.
Yeah, stop it, bro. We're not that sensitive, Lenny. You just like
just
to
like,
pick.
Just like this changing of the seats. He's not used to it when it's on the other foot and we're blasting him.
Right.
We're the easy target all the time.
How bad did Nick lose way back Wednesday? It was pretty bad.
No, it wasn't.
Even without the vote.
It was a few percentages.
Even without the poll, it was pretty bad.
I disagree.
I mean, your list was garbage.
It was amazing.
It was. You mailed it in. Like,
no, I didn't. I even had two Mana songs on there.
Mana.
Beep, beep, a-dee-dee.
You had three songs from the same group. That's mailing it in. You had eight. We came
three
up. At least we had
songs.
Eight different artists.
Yeah. We, Joel's wife, came up with his list.
Well, whoever. Not whoever made his
not
list.
Not true, but she did contribute.
Me and whoever made.
She contributed seven
my favorite
songs.
Part was, my favorite seven. Part was he was like, I made this list. And then you were like, you need one more. Honey, I need another song. Damn it. How much time do you have, Joel? That's awesome. If it wasn't for your ex-wife, you wouldn't have met your current wife. I guess that was for me because I said my ex-wife was cold. Whatever. Okay. That's not true. I met my current wife at work.
But if he's saying like if you didn't get rid of or broke up with your first
you
wife,
be locked up for you would have never met. Situation.
That's not true because I would have still worked there. It just means I would have cheated on my now ex-wife with my current wife. And then that would have happened. So nah, nice try, though. Hope the throat and the voice get to feeling better, Mr. Blank.
Thank you.
Getting well wishes out there.
Appreciate
that. I thought y'all weren't allowed to put cups on the table unless they were a paying sponsor. And does Joel always dress like he's about to hit the kickball field after work? You don't look like a kickball player.
What's that for?
What does a kickball player look like?
That, I guess. I don't know.
Watch yourself.
Just saying, according to this guy. I don't know why. It's shorts and a shirt.
Like, yeah, I always wear shorts and a shirt unless we're doing videos. But, I mean, what do you look like?
Yeah,
you know?
Send in your picture,
yeah,
sir.
Send your picture and we'll judge you.
With a shirt on. We don't need to see all that flab. Nobody
wants
to
see
that.
I will say this. It does change things because we're not just radio anymore. Otherwise, I always said, no one sees us anyway. So I come in and looking like I'm going to the gym.
That's why I wore my best t-shirt
today.
It's
not like you guys have to like dress up for the camera. And you can only see your
shirts.
Yeah,
we leave that to Ken Hoffman.
Yeah, I don't have any pants on right now. You guys can't see that.
I was just going to say, and people always take it a step too far. But I was like, when I was, you know, given the business about these cameras being put in and them not checking with us. And I said, now we got to wear pants. Everybody's like, oh, you run around naked or you run around. That's just great. Even Fred was like, oh, that's just terrible. That Joel would take it to that level. That's sick. Then dress appropriately. I'm like, what I meant was I'm wearing shorts.
Right.
Jeez, sick mind. Whose mind is it? You know?
Yeah. All right. Let me close that here. Do we have the Barkley apology audio you said?
Do you want to do it here or do you want to do it at the break?
What time is it? 2:55?
We can still do
damn,
it.
Damn, that we didn't do anything in that
Come
segment.
On, Joel,
I really
take
feel
us
like,
home, man. Make your break.
Sometime. I really feel like we didn't do
I
much
have
in there.
If you want,
let's do it. Because if you guys don't know, we're going to do another side. I don't want to do it because then Joel's going to bitch at me that, see, when you drive, we don't hit our brakes.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I would
you
never
will.
Do such a
we'll
thing.
Be back right after. No. Just like, damn it. All right, yeah, on the other side, if you didn't hear it last night for whatever reason, Charles Barkley addressed the Draymond Green, I want to punch you in the face saga on TV, and he kind of apologized. We'll have that audio right after this, ESPN 97.5. I'm her favorite because she admires the art. Michelangelo with the flow, Picasso with the bars. Well put together like a piece by Gershwin.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.